Down to Dunk Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. It is June 6th. I can't believe it's June, and we are so excited that you are listening to us wherever you are. Remember to check us out on iTunes. You can search Down to Dunk Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Communicate with us that way. We love to talk to our followers and people that we stalk on Twitter. And so follow us on TTD Podcast. Check us out on iTunes. Rate us, review us, and subscribe to us. That'd be great.
Today we have a very special guest interview. We had Royce Young come on the podcast via Skype, and here is that interview. All right, Royce. Well, welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. How you doing?
I'm very good. How are you guys doing?
Good. A couple of random questions to start out. How has having nearly 31,000 Twitter followers changed your life?
that is a good random question. I'll tell you, it makes you a little more self-aware and a little bit more careful about what you might be tweeting or saying, and personal thoughts, things that people use Twitter for, mm-hmm. like their inner thoughts, or something that they funny that happened at dinner or whatever. I second guess myself a lot more about things I tweet. It's not so much a stream of consciousness thing for me, because within those 31,000 people, some of them are pretty important people, and so you don't want to humiliate yourself to important people.
Sure. Skittles or Starburst?
Definitely Skittles for sure, and specifically red Skittles. Actually, a combination. I'd say red Skittles, and then also my favorite would also be a combination of eating orange and purple at the same time.
Nice. Okay, so I heard that you used to think that college basketball was better than the NBA.
Yes.
And you do not believe this now, correct?
I do not.
Tell me why.
Yeah, the reason that was is just simply, there was no professional team here. That was when I was in college still, and I was one of those college snobs that thought the college game with the pageantry and the chants and the crowd and the student sections and the band and all that stuff, the atmospheres, was what separated the game. And largely that was just because I never, since I didn't have a favorite team, I wasn't intently watching the NBA game outside of the playoffs or like a Sunday afternoon featured game. So I wasn't really appreciating the NBA game, and really my only high level basketball consistent viewing was college basketball. And now that I obviously adore the NBA, it's what I do for a living. So now I see how much better the quality of basketball is. And quite honestly, I can say last season, outside of the NCAA tournament, which I obviously watched, I probably did not watch a college basketball game start to finish.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I feel like as the NBA has gotten better and kind of pulled out of like the Iverson, Stephon Marbury era, that college basketball seems to have gotten worse. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And maybe my perspective is skewed on that because the NBA game, because I'm now watching the NBA, and so therefore kind of by extrapolation, college seems worse to me. But it does seem like the teams are not as good. And while the one and done rule, I think has kind of injected a little bit more talent into the college game, it has not been able to produce better teams, I think. And I think your top level teams, Louisville last year, Duke, North Carolina, some of those teams, Kentucky, obviously, Kansas, they're still playing pretty good basketball. But what frustrates me a lot about college basketball is, I think Kansas is a good example. Ben McLemore is probably going to be the top three pick in this draft. And in the NBA, he's going to be a focal point for a team. In college, he may play 36 minutes in a game for Bill Self, take four shots and score 4 points. Yeah. But he didn't play a bad game. It's just that's just the way it happened for Kansas. Jeff Withey or whoever was having a big game, and Ben McLemore just wasn't really involved. And so, they just, in the college game, for whatever reason, they just don't feature their best players. You know, I think there's been very few really, really good players that have been featured. Kevin Durant, obviously, at Texas, Carmelo Anthony at Syracuse. But, yeah, I mean, to the original question, I do feel like the college game has kind of been diluted a little bit the past probably 6-7 years.
Yeah, I think it also probably has to do with, at least for me, that OU and OSU have been really irrelevant. And OSU was relevant this past year, but, you know, since the Thunder came to town, they've both been pretty irrelevant basketball-wise.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny to me because when the Thunder first arrived, I think that that might have been Blake Griffin's freshman year.
Yes.
And it was funny because I was still at OU at the time and getting my degree, and I remember people in the basketball department and the athletic department were saying, oh, the Thunder coming is going to be great for OU and OSU. It's going to bring more attention to basketball and make this more of a basketball state, and it's going to end up helping us more than it's hurting us. Well, that's obviously been totally incorrect, because if the Thunder are playing a Wednesday night game, even against, like, the Sacramento Kings, and OU's playing, you know, TCU at home at Lloyd Noble the same night, people are going to the Thunder game. And not just that, if it's a road game, people are probably staying home to watch the Thunder on TV rather than going to the road game. So, yeah, I think OSU is doing a really good job kind of reigniting some of their interest. Because, I mean, OSU had one of the best fan bases in college basketball during the Eddie Sutton years. And
that's where I was. I went to school there. And my freshman year, we'd wait in line for days to get good seats for, you know, the Kansas game or the Texas game.
And so much of that has to do with, you know, it's just when you win, it's good. It's, you know, and OSU basketball has been, it hasn't been necessarily bad the past 5, 6, 7 years, but I think that it's been obvious that they just weren't that level of, like, contender. Mm-hmm. And this season, while obviously they were disappointing in the tournament, you know, the team is very good, and they're probably going to be even better next year. So I can see some of that kind of rowdiness coming back to Oklahoma State. But OU's never been that way. I mean, even during the best years of Kelvin Sampson, the crowds were always pretty weak at Lloyd Noble. I mean, it would fill up and it would sell out for prime Big 12 games, but the interest in basketball has just never been at, like, a fever pitch at OU. And to me, having the Thunder here has just distracted it even more. It's knocked it down another rung on the level. You know, it's now OU football, OSU football, you know, college football in the state. And then the Thunder is probably right there with it, if not above it, quite honestly. I think the interest in the Thunder is right there with college football in the state. And then, quite honestly, it might be OU softball at this point.
I know. I saw people's interest shift from the Eastern Conference Finals over to the softball game on Twitter. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put you in the GM chair now and ask you some difficult questions that you've probably had to answer over and over again.
Sure. So
Kevin Martin's agent comes to you and says that he will not take any less than a 3-year, $25 million contract, so roughly $8 million per year. What would you say?
I'd shake his hand and say, it was nice having you play for the Thunder. We enjoyed your season here, and best of luck finding that contract with somebody else.
Yeah, okay. Do you think that they're going to make an effort to re-sign him?
I think that they'll make an effort because, you know, so much, and this is what I've kind of said all along, that I think so much of it does depend on, A, what they do with that 12th pick, mm-hmm. And then, B, what they think of Jeremy Lamb. And, you know, the only reason to have Kevin Martin last season is because they just really weren't, they didn't feel like when they traded for Jeremy Lamb that he was ready to play the bulk of those minutes, because otherwise, you know, why would you bring in Kevin Martin on a 1-year deal? So, you know, they were just kind of trying to use that as kind of a patch to get to the point where Jeremy Lamb could handle, you know, 30 minutes and play a bigger role. If they don't feel like Jeremy Lamb is still ready, then yeah, I could see them making a little bit of a push to re-sign Kevin Martin, but it's going to be a cheap deal. I mean, and I would imagine it might be another 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's not Kevin Martin, it could be somebody like JJ Redick for, you know, for a mid-level sized deal. So I think that they'll probably make an effort because, you know, if you can get a player on a good contract, not only do you have him, but then you have a nice trade chip at the trade deadline too. So, you know, if Kevin Martin is really willing to take a big pay cut, then I'm sure that they would consider it.
Man, JJ Redick would be awesome just because he can also play on the other end.
Yeah, I like J.J. Redick a ton. You know, I think people have stereotyped him for a long time as strictly a shooter, but if they watched him much, especially his last couple seasons in Orlando before he got traded to Milwaukee, he's really kind of built his game. He's still a shooter first, and sometimes he's an inconsistent shooter at that, but he's a guy that can put the ball on the floor a little bit. You know, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, probably fill it up in the way that Kevin Martin could at times. You know, when Kevin Martin got it going, you know, he was a 20 to 25 point kind of guy.
Sure.
And, you know, he's been one of the best scorers in the game for the past 6-7 years. Redick's going to be a guy that's, you know, 11 to 14 points type of player off the bench. But, you know, to me, it's about the money and what you're paying a guy. And, yeah, I think that could be a fit.
Yeah. All right, next, you are picking at 12, and Steven Adams, Shabazz Muhammad, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Cody Zeller are all available. Who would you take?
That's tough. You know, honestly, my gut instinct says take Shabazz Muhammad just because he's the most talented player there. And, you know, I know that there are questions about his selfishness and his character. And, you know, I think he had like a total of 3 assists or whatever at UCLA this last season. And those are legit questions. But, you know, he's a guy that coming into last season, most people felt like he was probably going to be the number one pick in the draft. They felt like he has that kind of level of talent. He fits a position that the Thunder probably still need to address. So, you know, if he's there, it would be tough for me to turn him down. But I don't know enough about him. You know, I'm not in the interview room and learning about him. Steven Adams, you know, he's a nice guy with upside and potential and stuff, but I'm kind of sick of that whole thing. You know, oh, this guy's got potential and upside. Just got to put him in Tulsa for 6 years and let him develop. I'm kind of tired of that, but it is the truth. I mean, Kendrick Perkins's contract is going to be running out soon, and they're going to need a replacement big man. Cole Aldrich obviously didn't work out in that regard. And then Cody Zeller, you know, I don't really know what to think of Cody Zeller. I don't know if he's going to be an NBA version of Tyler Hansborough or if he's going to be David Lee. And I can't really figure out how to separate because, you know, midway through the college basketball season, he was the number one overall pick.
Oh,
and, and then, you know, for whatever reason, people have kind of soured on him a little bit. So, you know, I would lean towards Zeller. I don't know if he's really a true center. He might be more of a true power forward.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Thunder are looking for a center, I don't know if Zeller's that fit. And then the other guy, to be perfectly candid, I don't know anything about him.
Okay. I don't know a whole lot about him. I just heard Chad Ford say he's a good shooter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could pull up Draft Express and just read off his.
I know. Do you watch those Draft Express videos they put out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Your finals pick.
I've got Spurs in 7. Mainly because I think that what San Antonio does is basically, I think they're going to follow in the blueprint of what the Pacers did for 7 games, but San Antonio's got a lot better balance than the Pacers do. So, you know, I realize Duncan and Splitter are not quite the interior tandem that West and Hibbert are, at least in terms of, you know, physical dominance, but the Spurs can score inside, and then they also have the ability to spread the floor and space it with, you know, 3 or 4 good shooters on the floor with them. That's something that the Pacers couldn't do.
Right.
You know, the Pacers essentially had Paul George, DJ Augustine, Lance Stephenson's an inconsistent 3-point shooter, and George Hill. You know, none of them are really good knockdown shooters. And, you know, the Spurs can hit 13, 14 threes in a game while still running that good high post pick and roll with Duncan and dropping it down the splitter. So I think the Spurs have the kind of system and the kind of personnel that could give San Antonio legitimate fits. I mean, give Miami legitimate fits.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Spurs will win. They just have more guys. And, you know, if Indiana just had one more guy that they could trust, I think that they could have beat the Heat.
Well, yeah, they needed, you know, Lance Stephenson was obviously the X factor. And the games where he played well, the pace, he had that potential to be that guy. It's just he wasn't consistently that guy, you know. So, you know, I think the major hangup, and granted, 29 other teams don't know how to guard LeBron James either, but the Spurs really are going to be faced with trying to figure out how do they stop LeBron, especially if, you know, if Kawhi Leonard were to get in foul trouble. You know, he's the only guy on the roster, and he's a second-year player And, you know, 6'8", he's got the build and the body to do it, but he's the only guy on the team that can legitimately match up and defend LeBron. Because after that, it's Danny Green, and then after that, it's Boris Diaw. I mean, the Spurs.
D-Mac.
You got to stop Tracy McGrady for it. So, I think that could be the big problem for him.
Yeah. George Karl just got let go.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
That's pretty surprising. If you look at the Nuggets now, they've lost the executive of the year and the coach of the year in the past 2 weeks. So, they're facing some major transition here. And, you know, it's pretty surprising that George Karl would get let go because, you know, this was the best regular season he's had with the Nuggets. Obviously, they were disappointing again. In his 8 years, they've only been out of the first round one time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that this year there was the built-in excuse that Danilo Gallinari got hurt, and you know that made a major impact on who they were and what they were going to be going into the postseason. But I don't know what the Nuggets. Evidently, according to Woj, that it was more about the Karl wanted an extension and that the ownership didn't want to give it, so there was going to be tensions and whatever else. I don't know, but I know that the Nuggets are losing one of the best coaches in the NBA, and I'm already getting nervous thinking about George Karl going to the Clippers and turning Lob City into a fully functioning Death Star. So, I think George Karl is going to go somewhere, and I think that for Thunder fans, they can only hope it's the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, man, I didn't think about the Clippers. They would be amazing.
Oh, man, yeah. Bring back Chris Paul with George Karl running that Lob City, running the George Karl high tempo, Blake Griffin playing the Kenneth Faried role. I mean, they would be pretty scary.
And George Karl, I mean, if you look at their matchups through the years, who they played in the first round, it's completely understandable why they didn't get out of the first round. I don't know. I think that...
Yeah, sometimes it's just bad luck. You're right. I mean, sometimes it's about matchups. I mean, you look at this season, they ran into the Stephen Curry buzzsaw. And sometimes, that's just – and you look at that series, Draymond Green, a guy that shot like 6% from three or whatever, knocks down 50% of his threes. Sometimes it's just bad luck. And, a lot of it had to do with the Nuggets. They didn't play well. They couldn't score consistently. And
they were so banged up, man.
Yeah, and so I mean, it's just the way it goes sometimes. But if anybody thinks that it's because of George Karl and that he's a choker and he can't get out of the first round and he's a bad coach or something, I mean, they're insane. It has nothing to do with that. George Karl is probably one of the three or four best coaches in the league.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, last thing, we're going to play a little game that is called This or That, and I developed this game because I was just looking at different players, and I saw Courtney Lee's name, and I was like, that is a very girly name. So I decided to look through the history of NBA players and find other girly names. So there are lots there. So you have to tell me if this is a former NBA player or if this is a current Deer Creek high school teacher.
Oh, wow. This will be fun.
Okay, the first one is Terray Braggs.
That's got to be a teacher.
That is an NBA player.
Oh.
All right. Next one is Corey Blount.
Oh, that's an NBA player.
That is an NBA player. Next one, Aaron Michael.
Boy, Aaron. I mean, Aaron can go so many different ways. It's a very versatile name here. I'm gonna go with a teacher since we haven't had one yet.
That's correct. It is a teacher. Next, Alex Blackwell.
Alex Blackwell. That's a unisex name there. I'm gonna go with NBA player.
You are correct.
Wow, that's total guess.
Next one, Shannon Lockwood.
Teacher.
That's teacher. You're right. And last one, Jamie Brim.
Teacher.
Teacher. Bingo.
Man, I was awesome at this.
You were very good at this.
I only knew one player. I knew Corey Blount, and that was it. Yeah, I think that didn't Bill Simmons have a thing that he called them the Lindsey Hunter All-Stars, and it was NBA players that had names that sounded like hot girls?
Yes, he did.
I remember the Lindsey Hunter All-Stars.
There are a lot, and some of these are like really old names, like from the 60s and 70s that I would have had no idea they existed, but I just went back and looked through.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you. Appreciate you coming on
sure.
The podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We'll be right back.
This is the finals edition. The NBA finals actually start this evening. And not really to anybody's surprise, the Spurs and the Heat are meeting. The Heat made it interesting in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Pacers played their guts out to get to that seventh game. And I don't think anybody in their right mind really thought the Pacers had a chance in Game 7.
I think lots of people did.
Who?
I think tons of people
Bill
did.
Simmons did. There were lots of writers and bloggers that thought, just after watching Game 6, that it was going to be the Pacers in the finals. I mean, a lot of people thought that. They thought that Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh weren't going to be able to do anything, and which, you know, they both really stepped up in that game. They didn't shoot the ball real well or play just exceptionally well, but they stepped up and did what they needed to do to win the game. And they were, I mean, and the Heat were just hitting shots, and the Pacers just turned the ball over way too much in that game. Just destroyed their chances in the first half just by turning the ball over too much.
I haven't really been betting against LeBron James ever. This, especially in this postseason, he has been phenomenal this year. That, like, any of the games they lost, I feel were not his fault, but because of other people who didn't step up. You know, he doesn't really make those mistakes at the end of games like he used to, or
pass
up an opportunity to win
anymore. Twice.
Yeah.
But
okay. Well, yeah, he did that, but
for the series.
But for the series.
No, I'm saying he turned it over twice the entire series. It was a joke. See, Luke is gone this morning, in case you can't tell. Luke had to go to work.
None of us can pick up
Luke
on
is,
Jay's
Luke is the
jokes
only one
now.
That understands jokes.
Yeah,
he's the only one that's funny. No, that's
true.
Not true either.
That's true.
I actually didn't get to watch Game 7. I was out of town and away from a TV, and so I got to just kind of follow it on Twitter and through the Score Center app. And it looked like it was pretty much in control from about halftime on.
It was. It got to the point to where you would rather watch the Oklahoma softball game.
Yeah. People honestly did start switching to that on
I
Twitter.
Know.
Like, you could tell, like,
yeah,
at least fans here in Oklahoma City, you could tell that it slowly shifted over to the softball game.
Because it started to look like the Heat that killed the Thunder.
Yeah, they looked really good.
They did look good.
They did look good. In that... In Game 7.
You've got to take, for the Pacers, in the end, I think you have a lot of optimism to take from this.
Oh, yeah.
You're young. They're young. Paul George, Roy Hibbert are kind of their central pieces. Mm-hmm. Danny Granger, if he can come back at all. Now, the issue will be, if I'm the Pacers, I'm looking to move him for something, if possible. I don't know if they can because his contract, but he looks like one of those guys that if he can come in and be a supplemental player, because there's no doubt that Paul George is their perimeter stud.
He's the main.
He had a great series against LeBron. Even, I mean, Game 7, obviously, wasn't necessarily one of his greatest, but it was one of those things where you just watched him every game progress. And it's that coming out party a little bit. Like, Steph Curry had it for the Warriors against the Spurs and against the Nuggets. You're going to see Paul George get a lot more love going into next season because of the visibility, which Roy Hibbert so elegantly talked about how little, I guess, the media watches. What in the world?
Very intellectually.
I really thought they're going to suspend him for being so stupid, and then Game 7 is just going to be... blah.
Just find him $75,000.
Golly.
$75,000.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But so the Pacers took it to Game 7. I think what's going to be exciting is this could be one of those things. There's always that, not always, but when NBA is in its finest form, it's when there is in the Western or Eastern Conference Finals, and sometimes both, just a grind out fight to win the conference. And you just think of it historically. I mean, you had Pistons and Bulls, and you had the Lakers and the Kings and the Lakers and the Spurs. You had all of in the Knicks and the Heat, and there were all sorts of incredible matches just to get to the finals. A lot of times in my memory of NBA, which is, you know, I'll admit is the last 15, 20 years, those Western or Eastern Conference finals were better series a lot of times than the finals were.
I remember watching the Portland LA series when Portland had Pippen and Brian Grant. They had Rasheed Wallace and Steve Smith and not Steve Smith.
Damon Stoudemire.
Damon Stoudemire.
Steve
Lukes. Lukes.
Steve Portland Smith team. Was on
was
that
Steve
team.
Smith on the team? Mm-hmm. Well, they had all
it's
these
on one of those teams. I don't know
and,
if he was on that.
And team. The Lakers. I think it was Game 7. Where they were down 13 and end up coming back, and
yeah,
and then they go to the finals and almost sweep the Nets, beat them 4-1.
Yeah,
you know, it's like those series are so important to the NBA, and I look at this Pacers series and I look at just what's going to go in the finals, and my fear is that what happened last year. I mean, the Celtics took the Heat to 7. And we were all like, oh, man, both these teams look vulnerable. And then they came out, and the Thunder just got beat 5 games. And so all that to say and to lead to the fact that we do have a finals starting tonight that should be pretty fun to watch. Spurs are coming in playing as well as they've played all season and healthier than they've been all season,
yeah,
which is, I think, maybe one of the biggest factors for the Spurs. And the Heat come in after a little momentum, and they're going to come in probably the more prepared team as far as flow. You know, they go from a game 7 and then 3 days later are playing game 1 or 4 days later. Mm-hmm. While the Spurs, I think, have been off since March.
Yeah,
I feel like. And so but the Spurs needed that, and they're a team that's going to be prepared because that's who they are as a team. So let's move to projections a little bit, or predictions. And Taylor, what do you got?
I said it, I don't bet against LeBron James this year, so I'll take Heat in 6. Six.
You didn't seem very confident in 6. You kind of said a hybrid 7-6.
This series.
Say I haven't could, 6.
So, I mean, I even went back and forth between, do I think the Spurs will win? Do I think the Heat will win? This will be really close, I think. I think every game will be really close. There probably won't be any blowout games. I feel like if there's a blowout game, it'll be the Spurs against the Heat. And I think it'll just be one of those games where the Heat can't get anything going and the Spurs have everyone hitting their open shots. And but I don't think Tony Parker will have as big effect on this series as he did in the last one.
What?
Against the Grizzlies.
Really? You disagree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, I think he'll get his points, but I think in the fourth, he just won't be able to close it. I think Tim Duncan might be able to close it, but I don't think Tony Parker will just, you know, dominate the whole series like he did against the Grizzlies.
I would say, and Taylor and I had this conversation, I want to bring this up just for fun little debate. Have the Spurs' big three been better this postseason than the Heat's big three? And maybe I'm just looking at the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals.
I think the Spurs probably overall have been better. I think that you could probably say that Manu Ginobili is probably the weakest link of all those guys, but that Tim Duncan and Tony Parker have been better than Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, like, by far.
Yeah.
And then LeBron's just kind of in a class of his own, but...
If you take the top two, so Tony Parker and Tim Duncan against Dwayne Wade and LeBron this postseason.
But because Dwayne Wade has been that bad, it really, except for Game 7, and then maybe one game in the previous series, I would still rather have Tony Parker and Tim Duncan
mm-hmm.
because of that. I mean, you can say that. I mean, as a duo, I would rather have them. I would rather have LeBron, period. But
right,
as a duo, like overall, I think that Dwayne Wade has just been that bad.
He has been really bad, and Chris Bosh hasn't really showed up either in this postseason.
It's not going to be easy on him. I mean, we just watched Tim Duncan just and Tiago Splitter just shut down Zach Randolph. Very different players, I understand that, between Bosch and Randolph. But you look defensively, and the Spurs are not as good probably as the Pacers, but they are on a level around them mm-hmm. Because of the way they play team defense, the way they move away from the ball. And I mean, the Spurs are a disciplined team. They bring the things that the Thunder wouldn't have brought in the series. Now, the Thunder can match up as far as buckets and do those things if they were going to play. But in the end, I think the Spurs give them a good chance. I think that I'm going to pick the Heat. I'm going to actually just pick the Heat in seven just because I want that. But I could see this easily going Spurs,
yeah,
you know, because yeah, and you also gotta remember the NBA Finals, the format changes. So if the Spurs can get one out of this first two, that puts all of the pressure back on the Heat.
Yeah.
Because then they go to San Antonio for game 3, 4, 5.
Well, it's just like what happened last year in the finals of the Thunder. They lost game 2. And then it was all over. I mean, after game 1, the Thunder won game 1, and everybody's like, the Thunder are going to win the championship.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen.
Well, that's why I take Heat in 6 instead of 7 because of the format. Because I see them taking the first two. I see them taking one of those middle three.
And then coming back and
then coming back and winning at home. I don't see the Spurs winning all three of their home games like the Heat did against us last year.
I saw Tom Haberstroh talk about on ESPN. He said that out of all of, you know, they put all their analysts together and they picked the series. And he said half of them picked a game 7. You know, they picked the Heat in 7. And he said what that means basically is if you're picking a game 7, that means that you think it's a toss-up.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. I think that's what I think. I think it is a toss-up. I would love to see the Spurs win. And I used to be the biggest Spurs hater in the world. And it's not even out of a Heat hater thing. Like, it's not just because I just love the way they play. I think they have some really, really good pieces that are going to – if Danny Green can show up the way he has this postseason and not the way he did against the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals last year,
I think that –
it's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think that he will. I think that he will use last year's postseason as, you know, he'll come back to that and say, you know, I can't play like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And he obviously has improved in the offseason. So I'm picking Spurs in 6.
There's still one of these at home. Miami.
I think that this, you know, I don't. Yeah, I think that they'll take one in Miami, or maybe they'll win all three at home and then they'll win
in Miami.
In Miami, but I think that they're a better team than the Heat are. I think that they have better chemistry. I think that they have guys that they can count on more than the Heat have been able to count on people. I think the Heat can count on LeBron, and then from there, like, they don't really know what they're getting from game to game from Wade and Bosch and Chalmers and
did Mike Miller Haslam. Play against the Pacers?
Mike Miller, yeah.
Yeah, he played.
He played in game 7. In game 6, he came in and hit a couple threes. He only played a few minutes.
Can the Spurs force the Heat to go away from their small lineups?
I don't think that the Spurs really care what they do.
Yeah, I don't think
Tiago Splitter has improved enough that I don't think that they really care. Just like Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert could stay on the floor for basically the whole game. I think he averaged somewhere around 40 minutes a game. I think that Tiago Splitter has also improved enough to where he can stay on the floor as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. And that gave, I mean, and obviously I think that gave the Heat lots of problems. And I think that the Spurs look at that and they're licking their chops at, you know, size gives them problems.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw a lot of size at them. Plus, one of the best point guards in the league, we're going to throw that at him. And Manu Ginobili is facilitating at a really high level. And guys are hitting threes, and we haven't even talked about Kawhi Leonard who has been really good defensively, and he's going to be able to check LeBron some. And maybe they don't put him on LeBron, but they just say, hey, shut down Dwayne Wade. Like, just take him out of the game. We know he can't shoot.
Right.
We know that he's not getting to the basket like he was because of this bone bruise. Just stick him. Mm-hmm. And take him him out of the series.
Make them into the 07 Cavs.
Yeah.
And we beat that team 4-0.
And I think that Chris Bosh, because he's such a jump shooter, I think that they can stop jump shooters.
Oh, yeah.
So I really just think that this matchup favors the Spurs. And then the Tony Parker, I just don't feel like the Heat have a really good answer for Tony Parker. You can say they can put LeBron on him, but if you have LeBron doing everything on offense and guarding Tony Parker on defense, he can get, I mean, the guy's going to get worn out. He looked tired at points in that Pacers series. And if he thought that he was tired, because he wasn't even guarding Paul George in that series for the most part. I think if, I mean, that's going to be a really tough matchup for the Heat, Tony Parker is.
So I got this from Basketball Jones, but they told me this stat. The Heat haven't lost two in a row since like January, and that includes this postseason. And I cannot imagine the Spurs beating them either four in a row, like you said, which you might predict, or three in a row. I think the Spurs could get two on them. I don't see them losing three in a row.
I will say that
I don't see LeBron.
But don't you think that the Spurs are a far better team than anybody that they've played so far?
Yes, but...
Yeah, they didn't play the Spurs but once in that entire span since January.
Yeah, but I still don't think... I still think LeBron is on... And I know I sound like a freaking... Hey, I know I'm all over LeBron's jock right now,
but none
really
of us disagree with the LeBron factor. It's the rest of the team.
Yeah,
I know, but
Dwayne Wade is as bad as he's been. I mean, he hasn't been as unhealthy and as bad as he has been this playoffs all year.
I know.
Really, ever in his career, probably. Bosch seems timid. Their role players aren't.
I mean, Shane Battier, where is he?
I mean, they benched him.
He was bad in that Pacers series. I think you'll see a lot more of him in the Spurs series.
But against who?
But he hasn't been
go guard Manu?
He just hasn't been good.
I know, but you have to have him out there defensively. Just because
he hasn't
the Spurs
even been good on
way
defense,
more,
though, has he?
Well, he was on David West a lot. He was just getting beat up. Yeah. He had no one his size to guard.
The Spurs are going to work hard to put him in matchups that don't.
Because when they never put him in at like small forward or put him on smaller guys. Like they'll put him in as a power forward
and guard Tim Duncan.
Well, no, I was talking about this.
Battier's
going to
guard Tim Duncan?
No, I was talking about the Pacers series more specifically. But I think what they could have done that they didn't do was put LeBron on David West a little bit more. And I think that they can do that in the Spurs series.
Paul George just goes nuts.
Well, that's what I'm saying they could have tried Battier on Paul George a little bit.
I think that they didn't do that because it would have wore LeBron out.
Yeah.
Having a guard. Because David West... That dude's a man.
Yes, but now in the finals,
a physical player.
In the finals, I think you can put LeBron on
Tim Duncan
on Splitter.
No,
I think you can put LeBron on Splitter,
and I think you
can put and then leave Shane Battier out on one of the perimeter guys because they're going to have three perimeter guys out there who can all hit their open
shots.
Shane
Battier on Kawhi,
and then
probably.
But then like
or Manu
Park. I mean, Manu moves. Manu moves a lot though.
Yeah, that's true.
But Parker and Manu, if you have to have LeBron down low,
and then Mario Chalmers or Norris Cole guarding Tony Parker,
that's just where I'm seeing like the matchup, the favorable matchup for the Spurs, in my opinion, is because
just to be fair, let's look at
because if you're hiding LeBron on Splitter, I mean that's basically what it is because Splitter's not going to be like a huge threat to you.
I don't think it's hiding LeBron on Splitter. Okay, well then, do you think that they could put Shane Battier on Splitter in front of him and just deny ball because he doesn't? I mean, he doesn't really post up as much as David West.
He gets the ball in the flow of the offense, and so
right.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter where you put a defender on him; he's going to get open shots when he gets them. Like. Because they're moving the ball so much that he's not getting it and backing somebody down for 10 seconds and then shooting a hook shot.
Well, then like, maybe Shane Battier is good to have
somebody.
On
him. I just think that Shane Battier is done.
You really think that?
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't that bad until this last series, though.
I just feel like he's done.
I remember saying the same things, though, last year. Be like, oh, Shane Battier has been. He made, like, two shots until the finals and then went nuts.
That's what I'm thinking. I think they'll show through.
Because this is the second time that I've...
But the difference is that they got to the finals with Shane Battier starting a power forward, and that's when they switched to small ball was in the Pacers series last year. They didn't play small ball all the time until that Pacers series, and then they figured out that they could win with it, and Shane Battier was their power forward, and that was it. And then they moved forward, and
I believe they could do that against Spurs.
Maybe that line. But they couldn't do it against the Pacers. I mean, to be fair, they changed their lineups because they couldn't do it.
Let's look defensively at how the Spurs would match up against the Heat. So you have Mario Chalmers, Norris Cole at the point, Dwayne Wade at the two, with any insert anybody else, you know, Ray Allen,
a shooter or whatever,
anybody. You have LeBron at the 3/4/5/2/1. And then you have, you know, you roll out. Sometimes they roll out Udonis Haslem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, Chris Anderson. And so you have kind of a revolving door at the 4/5, you know, with LeBron sometimes playing that too. Chris Bosh, obviously, as well. So where do the Spurs, I think if we're talking matchups, and we spend all this time talking about how the Heat defend or kind of outmatch with the Spurs, how do the Heat match up offensively against the Spurs? Nobody can guard LeBron. Now, Kawhi Leonard will do as good of a job as anybody.
Yeah.
If that's what they call him to do. Now, do you save him for what Andrew maybe said and put him on Dwayne Wade? Danny Green's a decent defender.
Yeah. He's an athlete.
Tim Duncan is a great defender still. Tony Parker's an average defender, but you don't need him to be a defender in this series.
I think he's a bad defender.
I'll just say average for that.
He's a guy that they will hide. That they will have to hide on just a spot up shooter.
Yeah.
So whoever the shooter's gonna be, that's where Parker will be.
Yes.
Ginobili is old.
Ginobili is not Ginobili anymore. But the Ginobili only good thing he did was hit that shot against Golden State.
He's still real pesky.
35-40-year-old guy at rec league that he may be slower than you, but he's still way better than you. He knows where to be.
He's smarter.
His hands are shifty. Yeah.
He's still okay. I just think that because the Spurs can defend the rim and defend the paint, that is a really big deal. One, because that's where, I mean, LeBron can make shots anywhere now, but when he's at his best, he's in the paint. And Dwayne Wade can't shoot, period. He's got to get in the paint.
It's his elevation, man. That's such a big deal because that knee is probably more than a bone bruise.
Yeah, the guy just
looks like a shell of himself right now.
And if a team is gonna guard him the way they should, it's going to be the Spurs. You know what I mean? If a team is going to lay off and say, like, okay, shoot the ball. Shoot the ball, Dwayne Wade.
And here's another thing that we haven't mentioned one time is Popovich.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, he's the very best in the league right now. I don't know how you could argue. I don't know how you could argue. Yeah, he's probably top 10.
He's too good. I mean, you see,
because he may be top 5.
He could be. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and look at a list.
I mean, if you look at how good,
let alone maybe 5 championships, but
how good people thought the Spurs were, and how good the Grizzlies were, and how good the Grizzlies actually were, and then they go into the Spurs series, and Popovich destroys everything that they had.
Pretty sure we just persuaded Taylor to move to the. So what's your pick now?
No, it's still Heat. Okay, right. It's still Heat. I mean, your coach can. You can have the better coach, but if you have the better player, then I think you have a better chance. The coach isn't on the court, man. I winked at Jay, just so you all know.
Eric Spoelstra's on the court.
Okay, the Heat's coach is on the court a lot. Right?
He gets out to about the jump ball area.
he seriously does.
He's good, though. He's a good coach.
I like Spoelstra.
He's
good. I thought it was the weirdest hire ever. I thought it was just a puppet for Pat Riley when they hired him, but
he's smart. Dude
can coach his butt off.
What do you guys think? People talk about, some Thunder fans have talked about this. What if last season, you know, flip it. The Thunder win the championship and the Heat lose in the finals 2 years in a row. What do we think about Spoelstra and what do we think about Scott Brooks at that point?
And we're the exact opposite.
And we're talking about three victories, and that's
Spoelstra almost
one
got
of which
fired
and that's it. Down to
a foul.
Yeah, a foul on a Durant jump shot. That
wasn't called.
Yeah.
But if you flip it like that, and which I mean, obviously those three wins are the most significant wins that a coach can get.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what if?
It's a great question.
I think Spoelstra would
He might have been fired.
He might have been let go.
He almost was fired last year. Do you remember that?
Well, I mean, ESPN there was like almost rumors. Fired him.
Yeah, but say the fans and the...
Well, media. I mean, the Heat were bad enough to where there were rumors about Spoelstra being fired. And I think if they did lose in the finals again, they would have fired him.
I think that they probably...
Well, who do you bring in? Like, I think at that point, Pat Riley, he's not bringing in anybody big.
I mean, you have to. You have to do something. That's just what. That's just what you do. You fire your coach if your team isn't performing.
I do.
Steve Van Gundy was doing fine, and he's just like, I'm going to coach this team.
He's like,
finals championship.
I can win another championship.
Really, it's exactly what.
Go ahead and go home.
All right, hey, let's move on. We're going to move on to true false, but I do want to ask one quick question. The Memphis Grizzlies are losing their minds right now, and so what they've done in the course of 2 weeks is they've said, Lionel Hollins, you're free to talk to whoever it is. And then they've denied him the ability to talk to the Nets. The Nets are kind of like, eh, whatever, that's fine. We'll just move on and get
We'll somebody. Get Brian Shaw.
Yeah, we'll get Brian Shaw. Am I crazy to think the Grizzlies – almost have to sign Lionel Hollins?
They're not going. I don't think
he
stays.
He's so good.
I don't think he stays.
He's a good coach.
Plus, he looks awesome.
He does.
He looks great. He looks like I want him to be my uncle that married into the family.
Right?
Because he's black. He wouldn't be blood related.
Not blood related.
Huh? Yeah.
black. Yeah, black. Okay. That's right.
Anyway, so we'll switch off of that. We need to talk. There's a whole bunch of offseason talk. To talk about. We've got draft stuff coming up. We've got coaching changes. Free agency opens up, and all of that happens here in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And so that's an exciting time, but we'll spend a lot more time on that when we get closer to it, because nothing's really happening right now. So it's true or false.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
We're just getting to this?
Just getting this. We have about one more hour. Of a podcast. Well, thanks for listening. What we did today is each one of us, three, Andrew, myself, and Taylor, we are bringing one true or false question. And since we're talking about the Spurs, I'll go ahead and talk about it. My question first. The Spurs, as a big three, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Tim Duncan, have been together since 2001 draft. 2001 was Tony Parker's draft. 99 was Manu Ginobili, and 97 was Tim Duncan. The Thunder, who have admittedly been modeled after a Spurs kind of dynamic, the way they do it with Sam Presti and just the way they've done it, have been together since 08, which makes this their technically fourth season, but Serge didn't play the first season. And so... My question, my true or false question, the Spurs have been together for 12 seasons. Will the Thunder, this big three, play for 12 seasons together in Oklahoma City? True or false? Here, let's rephrase it like a true or false. The Thunder, big three, will play for as long as the Spurs big three together.
I think it's true. I think that these guys are pretty loyal guys. They care about Oklahoma City. And when you have a good thing like the Spurs have had, you know, you typically are going to stay. And if you have a chance to get to the conference finals every year for 12 years, I think that you're going to stay with that team. I don't think that you have any reason to leave. And I think maybe the only way that they would split up is if there was a trade. Or if there's an opportunity to make an upgrade at power forward, I think that they would take that chance. You know, the Spurs, a lot of people talk about this. The Spurs tried to sign Jason Kidd to be that to take Tony Parker's spot because they didn't think he was going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jason Kidd decides that he wanted to sign with the Spurs, it would be a completely different story, and they probably would have tried to flip Tony Parker for something. But I think that if the Thunder have an opportunity like that to go and get somebody at the power forward spot, that's an upgrade over Ibaka, I think that they would. But if, as long as they don't have that opportunity, I think that they will be here in 2020.
I think I agree with that. I think, true, they'll be here. But what's funny to think about is if you asked this question last year, the big three would be James Harden, not Serge Ibaka. Yeah.
think they made a the decision to make the big three who it is, you know.
Like, yeah.
They invest in Surge. That's why I don't know if they make – I don't know who would be the upgrade that they would go after at the power forward position.
You just don't – I mean, we just don't know what their cap situation is going to be in 5 years, you know. And you don't know who – I mean, there may be a young up-and-coming power forward that's, like, fed up with their team.
Right.
We say, hey, you want Serge Ibaka? I mean, I don't know. You just don't know. And maybe they're this may not even be their big three, though. Maybe they are able to get somebody
who
could be the third guy. Maybe they're going to find a shooting guard that'll be their third guy. I don't know. Maybe they, I don't know.
Yeah, this big three. My point was, like, this big three could have been a completely like a different big three. It just depends on who the player is.
I think the big three. Like, you look at the Spurs, you look at the Heat. You know, their big three has a low post presence is the only reason I would say that. And so unless
Bosch isn't really a low post presence.
Yeah,
so.
They get a low post, goofy looking, crazy person.
LeBron is their low post.
LeBron and Wade are probably more of a low post presence than
true. You know what's crazy?
Chris Bosch.
And maybe I should save this for my say what stat, but the Spurs have only had one losing season since 1990.
Really?
It's pretty insane.
That is insane.
One losing season. And it was 96 and 97. And the best, it was the greatest losing season in the history of the NBA because out of that season, they drafted Tim Duncan and fired their head coach and hired their assistant, who was the interim, a young man by the name of Greg Popovich.
Who wasn't young back then because he was still old back then.
115 right now.
He's very old now.
And who was on that bad Spurs team that lost? Vinny Del Negro.
Wow, no wonder they were a losing Clippers. Team.
There you go.
So anyway, so I think we all say true. I think the Thunder and really what we're saying is Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook will be on the team in 2020.
Yeah,
I will be blown away surprised if they don't finish their careers as Thunder players.
Especially Kevin Durant.
Like, if it's not one of those things in the end where they're like, Russ goes and plays his last two seasons.
If they don't turn into Shaq. Like, play for every team in the league at the end of their career.
One of them becoming Shaq at some point.
If one does, though, it's going to be Russ, not KD.
You don't think that... you think that Russ is going to call somebody a butt face on TNT whenever he retires?
No, please, God.
Shaq, I can't take it anymore.
He's ruining what you guys thought of Shaq.
It's bad. I feel almost sometimes embarrassed to say that I'm a Shaq fan because of what everybody thinks of Shaq currently.
Yes.
Like, he's calling people butt faces on
the worst. This has been the worst thing for Shaq's career, I think.
No way, man.
Yes, being the TNT analyst has been the worst thing for his career.
It's been bad.
It's been really bad. No one respects him anymore.
Taylor, you're true or false?
This is true.
Should KD date the new Tulsa Shock star, Skylar Diggins? We talked about this.
Absolutely true. And they should make little Oklahoma Thunder babies.
Yeah, they should. Thunder Shockers.
Thunder Shockers.
Okay,
I don't really even know how to answer this question.
True. It's true or false?
I really don't know anything about Skylar Diggins.
They like
Skylar Diggins?
Skylar Diggins. She was
awesome.
She's the best Notre Dame girls player of all time, probably.
One of the better basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
Because she didn't bypass her freshman year to go play straight in the WNBA.
Because you don't really make money.
I think you go in the hole to play in the WNBA.
Yeah.
She is around Kevin Durant's age. She is pretty.
She is pretty.
She's got an incredible personality.
She's a really good point guard.
She's a really good player.
How tall is she?
She's pretty 6'8".
No, she's like
6'1".
She's
maybe.
Probably 6'1".
Look her up, man. No, you don't have... I'll look her up for you.
She, honestly, I've watched 2 Tulsa Shock games this year.
Okay.
I have the whole thing.
Why?
And they're actually
That's all we
enjoyable.
Have for today, ladies and gentlemen.
Why?
We'll be back next week without Taylor Dixon.
Hey, listen, all of our girl listeners are going to love that I watch WNBA.
I don't think my wife cares if you watch the WNBA.
That's all of our girl listeners right there. So.
She's an American basketball player who played college basketball for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. She is the all.
Just let me see a picture of her.
Oh, okay. You don't want to know.
I could really care less about anything else about her. Hey, I mean, she. I mean, both of you guys say pretty. True.
This she's is her pretty. OKC Thunder hat, so pretty much it's destiny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's pretty.
What did you expect?
I don't know. I have Brittany no Griner, idea.
Brittany Griner, a.k.a. Michael Beasley?
I've just seen lots of WNBA players. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yes, true. I don't know. I don't really.
Okay, that's good. Good answer, Andrew. That's good.
I know nothing about the WNBA.
All right, go, Andrew. True, false.
True or false? The Thunder should trade the 12th pick in Jeremy Lamb for a top pick to select Ben McLemore. So they're giving up. If let's say this is on the table. This is all hypothetical, but it's fun. The 12th pick in Jeremy Lamb for Ben McLemore. Would you do that?
No, I'm honestly not too hot on Ben McLemore.
Yeah, I'd say false.
I'm not. I'd rather take someone with the 12 and see what happens, and have Jeremy Lamb, who is another year developed, and I think we'll have more opportunity this year, especially with Kevin Martin gone, than take Ben McLemore, who, what if he's nothing? You know what I mean? And then we have nothing, and then we gave away our potential shooting guard and a pick this year, which may not have been anything worthwhile, but I'm not that hot on Ben McLemore.
I'd rather swing for the fences and go after a guy who was a blue chipper coming out of high school. The guy can shoot lights out. I mean, they know that, and I think that if we get a top five pick, I think they're going to give him more of a shot to actually get into the rotation than if we get another late lottery pick.
Yeah,
like Jeremy Lamb, they're like, well, he was 12th pick. Send him to the D League, let him develop. But if they have a top five pick and a guy, and they talk about McLemore. They talk about how just incredibly skilled he is and what a great shooter he is, and that he's not that much of a leader, but he doesn't need to be that much of a leader
Being on a team like Durant, with Durant and Westbrook, is you develop. Like, you look at how many players come in to play for the Thunder and all of a sudden are different players, people. Because they're infectious. The way they work, the way they lead, everything they do makes everybody else better.
I mean, I think the beat is a guy who everybody really thought would be out would be out of the league.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he turned into a decent backup center.
Yeah, and he's all right.
He'll be on the team.
We saved his career. I mean, even if he doesn't, someone else will sign him after us now.
He'll continue especially to average
starter.
He'll average three fall downs a game.
Yeah.
And that's in like fouls. A point. In a point and 7 fouls.
I hate it. I saw somebody yesterday. I think it's Mark Stein. Who does the
Chad Ford.
Chad Ford does all the NBA stuff. And what he said, and I've heard this from multiple people, was he said that Ben McLemore is the one guy in this draft that has all-star potential. Like, he has the potential to be better than everybody else in the draft. Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not the motor's there. I just watched him play in a couple games this season and saw him disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just made me go, ugh.
Yeah, I watched a tournament game where I was like, he missed, like, every shot and even got to the rim and, missed a layup.
Well, on a Kansas team where...
Go ahead, sorry.
On a Kansas team where, he was kind of their only thing this year. Kansas wasn't, like, the normal roster that they
have. Yeah, it was weird. They still were really good.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, Ben McLemore was the only, like, star that they had on the team this year, and he would disappear.
They had lots of older guys, though.
They did.
Yeah, but...
But you look at McLemore. I remember watching the OSU game where Kansas goes to OSU and wins in overtime, and I thought Kansas was horrible in that game because OSU didn't play very well either, and Kansas couldn't do anything. McLemore just kind of disappeared. Drifted over to the corner and just kind of stood there. But I say all of that to say that if he was on the Thunder and what they say about his talent is true, that guy could be a killer pick.
Yeah, that's what I think.
They're comparing him to Brad Beal, and they're comparing, they compare both of them to a Ray Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They almost say McLemore has better skill set than Beal even had.
Yeah, that's why I think you just got to swing for the fences. I mean, if you get – we don't know. Maybe Lamb is a rotation player that can come in and shoot and have a really tiny head. I mean, I don't know.
God, that head is so small.
That's the smallest head.
I feel bad for him. Anyway, go on.
And the 12th pick, I mean, if they, I don't know. I just feel so uneasy about them taking a big guy like this Steven Adams or, you know, the Kelly Olynyk or whoever at that 12th pick. Just taking a big guy, I don't. It just makes taking big guys makes at 12 and the lottery just makes me nervous.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. But you just, I don't know about the draft. I just look at all these guys who people thought would never be anything, but they're put on the right team. And I've made this argument before: the right team picked them, the right organization picked them, they had the right coaches, and they ended up being great players for that team. You know what I mean? And like, I just, and I trust Presti so much that I mean, there have been a lot of big guys that have failed for us that haven't worked out, but Serge did work out.
Serge did, but Serge is a special player.
He is, but I'm saying. But, like, did anyone think he was a special player when
everybody
he was drafted?
Knew that he had a crazy athlete.
Yeah.
And that's really what he was. I mean, he was basically Tyrus Thomas coming into the league, but, and we don't really know what he would do.
That's my point. He wasn't a special player when he was drafted.
I just don't feel like there's another guy like that, though. I mean, I feel like the rest of these guys are going to be closer to Cole Aldrich than Serge Ibaka.
The NBA draft is so hard.
It's a crapshoot.
You look at the draft almost every year, and almost half of them are busts.
Yeah. You look
it's
at like.
It's insane how hard the NBA draft is to work through. I watched, it's. You start convincing yourself of anything, and so but
start
you look
convincing
at,
yourself.
Gosh, dang man, sorry.
You sound stupid.
But I watched this Pittsburgh center Steven Adams play.
Oh, Steven Adams, the Australian guy. Mm-hmm.
And that's that's who I've seen two or three different
New Zealander.
Oh, New Zealand, yeah,
something around there.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Something they all sound the same.
It's all down under.
The guy, like you look at the two bigs that the Thunder have drafted, and Cole Aldrich and B.J. Mullins, and both of them are, I mean, B.J. was a project. You knew kind of what you were going to get with Cole. He was a block. He was a shot blocker. He was kind of limited.
Well, we thought that he was going to be a starter.
Ah.
You guys didn't think that at the time?
No.
Because when they traded.
I watched him play a lot in college and thought,
but
who he is.
What he was projected to be was more than that, though.
Yeah. But he's so limited athletically. The thing that's exciting.
I thought he was a pretty good athlete.
If we're going to stick with the 12th pick and we do pick Steven Adams, I wouldn't be upset about it because he's athletically out of this world. And for a 7-footer to be as big and athletic as he is, like there's a potential for the Thunder to develop a guy like that that gives you more upside than a Cole Aldridge.
I watched a Steven Adams interview during this combine, and what I didn't like to hear was, this whole summer I've just been working on my jump shot. So now, because I want to be one of those big guys who can leak out and take a lot of jump shots. And I hated that.
That's the new NBA, though, man. It's the new center. Nobody does the post anymore.
I know, but, like, I mean, you look at, like, a guy like Chris Bosh, who I feel like he's kind of ruined himself because of how he takes so many jump shots now. You know what I mean? Like, I watched old Toronto Raptors highlights with him. Huh?
He's so skinny, though.
I know, but, like, that's how he used to get to the basket, was because he could slither through people.
You're right. He didn't get to the basket
more.
He
himself on a Toronto Raptors team.
Yeah, but I mean, he did a lot more. He could do that for this Heat team. Yeah. He could.
Chris Bosh is a better player than what he is showing on the Heat.
Yes.
I think that's true.
All right. I'm kind of indifferent.
I forgot we were here.
To the true or false, like I'm kind of indifferent to picking Ben McLemore and giving up the 12th pick in Jeremy Lamb. Now, realistically, I'd probably say true because Ben McLemore is a better player probably than Jeremy Lamb or what we could be at for the 12th pick.
Yeah.
And the 12th pick is such a – I mean, it could be a guy that's not playing in the league in 2 years.
I mean, it could be You could be Robert Swift or it could be Brooke Lopez. You just don't know. And there's way more Robert Swifts out there than there are Brooke Lopez. So I think that you, I don't know. Taking a big guy, that doesn't do anything for me. I just don't think it's, I think it's a bad, I just think everything about taking a big guy in the draft is a,
makes me nauseous.
Is bad.
I would like to see a small forward, though. But anyway.
I think if they could get the guy from Indiana.
Victor Oladipo?
Oladipo. No,
the big guy from Indiana, Zeller.
Oh,
Cody Zeller.
I think
Zeller.
Cody Zeller.
I think if they could get Zeller, I would be okay with taking him. Just because he's got...
He'll be there at 12?
Yeah, he will.
If he's there, I think that I would be okay with them taking him. I think he would be... He could ultimately be like a, almost like a stretch four and just have surge
control the paint. He can shoot the three ball is what I've heard too.
Really?
See, I'd be okay with that.
And do it.
You know, else can B.J. Mullins.
This guy's about four times the player of B.J. Mullins.
I know. I'm just
I would be okay with that, but just all these. But then they're after
the NBA draft.
After Zeller, there are just like. Just a long list of project big men.
You read time that Shabazz Muhammad, if he would have come out of high school last year, he'd have been the number one pick.
Oh, yeah.
Or top three.
Yeah.
That dude, they haven't projected like 18.
He's been
bad.
He's been a bad human being.
And he's dribble.
Well, all this stuff is like, coming out now that he's a terrible teammate.
Yeah.
He's like, his personality is awful. He's a queen. I mean, he's a queen on the court. Like he, I did not mean it like that.
Not racist, but it sure is bigoted.
Well, and athletically, it's not really measuring that great at the combine either. So I don't know.
I hate the NBA draft. I'm over.
No, you don't.
I do though because it makes me sick to my stomach. Because I'm
seriously can't wait.
So much potential and so much. Just like it's never going to work out anymore.
Yeah,
the Cole Aldridge. I can't handle unharnessed potential.
The Cole Aldridge pick just goes. Oh, just makes me. Sick.
I was so excited about that.
Eric Bledsoe sitting there and
just playing footsie with me right now.
All right, you know what it is time for now?
Time for Husa did that.
Husa did that.
Welcome back to Husa did that. Too bad Luke isn't here. I wish Luke was here. Luke, you can answer at home when you listen later. All right, so this game, I'm going to give you either a story of a past NBA-related person or a quote from a past NBA-related person. So this could be a player, a coach, maybe the commissioner, David Stern, who knows. But, yeah, he's definitely in this, so I know that. And then I'm going to give you options, and you're going to pick. Ready? I said, are you ready?
Ready.
Yes, ready.
Okay, number one. This man loves pigs in a blanket so much so that whenever he goes to a party and there aren't any pigs in blankets, he flips out and yells at caterers or the person having the party. Is it Greg Popovich, David Stern, Antoine Walker, or Robert Swift?
Antoine Walker.
Tell me who.
You can't shake your head after I say it.
Greg Popovich.
I didn't.
I did it to you.
You say Popovich, you say Antoine Walker. Both of you incorrect. David Stern.
No.
David Stern, please. Yes. There's a lot more about this, but yeah,
he loves pigs in blankets.
And I guess when they make them, they're just like the best pigs in blankets ever. Because, you know, they're professional caterers. And so, anyway.
What kind of pigs he uses?
He loves his little piggies. Number two, this is the quote. Play some Picasso to me. Now, here's the story behind it. This former Nets player said this to a pianist at a bar while trying to impress a chick. Play some Picasso to me. Okay, do we understand why this is so stupid now? Is it Chris Morris, Sam Bowie, Kenny Anderson, or Sleepy Floyd?
Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, I'll say Kenny Anderson.
It was Chris Morris.
I don't even know who Chris Morris is.
I didn't either. I didn't either. I had to look up who he was.
Play some Picasso for me.
Some Picasso to me. That's just funny.
The funny thing to me is the funniest part to me.
No, the quote is to me. It's definitely to me.
To me.
And then I can just imagine him looking at some chick and like smiling like, yeah, you think I'm cool. Okay, number three. This player got in trouble when team management found out he was eating Popeye's fried chicken for every meal, including including breakfast.
Has to be all of
for
them.
For weeks, because he never really learned how to grocery shop. Is it Yao Ming, Kwame Brown, Anthony Randolph, or Robert Swift?
Oh, my gosh.
Kwame Brown.
Anthony Randolph.
No, Kwame Brown.
Yeah, it is Kwame.
There's so many stories like this for Kwame Brown.
What year was this?
This was when he was on the Bobcats.
The Bobcats?
Wait.
The Wizards?
Wizards, yes, the Wizards. And there's so many. Like, I guess when he got his apartment, he had never...
Michael Jordan goes, hold on. Why are there so many bags of Popeye's chicken laying around here? That's what I eat every day. You eat Popeye's chicken every day?
He ate Popeye's chicken every single meal for weeks.
I get chicken strips.
And then, Michael Jordan physically beats up Kwame Brown.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Gosh. Hey, what's the score right now? You both have...
One.
I've got nothing.
We're one.
Okay. Yeah. Four. This player had Patrick Ewing buy him beer in Monaco because he couldn't justify paying $20 for a beer. John Stockton, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird, or Magic Johnson?
Scottie Pippen.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
Yes!
That was during the Dream Team time, of course.
That sounds like Larry Bird.
And it does.
A good call.
It does. This player was approached by a fan who asked him to sign a pennant for his brother, saying, his name is Mark, Mark with a C. The pennant read, to Kark with a C. Who is this stupid player? Is it Tony Allen, John Starks, BJ Armstrong, or Robert Swift?
I'll go Tony Allen.
Say it again. BJ Armstrong, Tony Allen.
Or John Starks.
John Starks.
It was John Starks.
Wow.
I guess Don Nelson coached that Knicks team for a while.
Don Nelson, yeah.
Yeah, and he hated John Starks. And he's who this story comes from. He thought John Starks was the stupidest player ever.
I remember hearing this story.
Wanted him traded. Okay, here's a quote. This was after this player's Porsche was totaled. This is the quote. It was like my best friend in America. Was it Andres Beatriz, Pekovic, Vlade Divac, or Robert Swift when he returned from China or wherever the hell he was?
Robert Swift.
Beatriz?
It was Beatriz. It was like my best friend in America, his Porsche.
I can see all those other guys having friends.
Yes.
Except for Andres Beatriz.
That's why it's so funny.
I can't imagine him hanging out with anyone.
No. Okay, Don Nelson said this about which of his players? I didn't know he was that ugly. I thought he was a pretty good-looking fella when he had hair, but oh my goodness, did that bring out all his bad features or what? He's going to be single all the rest of his life. Which of these players was that quote about?
Why is Don Nelson still in the league, man?
Steve Nash, Sean Bradley, or Dirk?
Sean Bradley.
Nash.
Dirk. Is about Dirk. I guess he had a bunch of hair and he shaved his hair. And
I remember that, yeah. He was pretty young, I think.
Okay, this is the last one. This is a quote. When Michael Jordan scored 69 points, I knew I'd always remember it as the night me and Michael combined for 70 points. What's it? Stacey King, Horace Grant, Craig Hodges, or John Paxson?
Stacey King.
Stacey King.
It was Stacey King. Good job, y'all.
Yes.
That was Husa did that.
Husa did that. That was fun.
I had three.
I got three, too.
You had three?
Tie.
Ooh, tiebreaker. The Clippers grabbed our Wang. Was it Don Nelson or Don Nelson?
And deleted.
Don Nelson.
Michael Olowokandi. Is that an opportunity?
No. This was in the last time we played this.
Yeah, it was. Right? I remember that.
Don Nelson.
Don Nelson has had a lot.
I hope it was Don Nelson.
It was Don Nelson. Oh, I love it really was.
It was about Gigi Wang.
Yeah, it was about Gigi Wang.
Yeah.
I forgot about how awesome that was. Oh, gosh.
All right, that's it.
I love who said that.
All right, now it's time for our Say What. Stat of the Week.
Stat of the Week.
Say what? Here's mine. It's not really a stat, but it's something awesome.
We have to have somebody who doesn't have a stat.
The last 1993 NBA Jam Tournament Edition, this week... The last.
How are you going to word this?
Listen.
Okay.
The last two players that were active from that 1993 NBA Jam Tournament Edition. Both have retired.
Wow.
So there's no longer an NBA player active that was on the 1993 NBA Tournament Edition Jam.
Wow.
Guess who those two players were?
I already know this. Do you know
Jason Kidd and Grant Hill.
Yeah, they both retired.
Both retired this week. It's a sad day. I like both of them.
That was 20 years ago. So, wait, what was their rookie year? Was that it?
Yeah.
Three.
They made it their rookie year?
I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
Both of those guys were, I mean.
Good pro careers. Grant Hill, the only bad thing is Grant Hill could have been. They literally compared him to Michael Jordan when he came out. He just couldn't stay healthy.
I watched some old Grant Hill videos when he was on the Pistons. Oh, my gosh.
It's one of the greatest what ifs.
Oh, my gosh.
It really is.
He was so good.
He was awesome. I mean, then he went to the Magic and just, like, sat on the bench because he had
bum ankles.
But if they had Tracy McGrady and Grant Hill on that team, they would have been
and they would actually have been
really good.
Yeah. Well,
Taylor Dixon.
Oh, okay, here's mine. Weighted by percentage of points scored in the regular season. Let's not use that first part because I have no idea how that applies to the rest of this. The Spurs are 6 feet 6.6 inches tall, and the Heat are 6 feet 6.6 inches tall. Ooh, they're the same height.
Theory.
But I don't understand what weighted by percentage of points scored in the regular season has to do with that.
Not a thing.
That's what I thought. I was like, does it mean that they're not
counting guys who are not scored? That haven't scored?
Maybe.
That'd be the only thing that could mean.
Yeah, I know. I could not figure it out.
It's really weird.
That is really weird. But 666, and they're both the same. This finals is for the devil, y'all.
Some people would agree with that. Andrew, what do you have for me?
This is from John Schumann. 23 out of the last 24 teams that have been in the finals have ranked in top 10 in defensive rating. There's only one team that did not, and it was the Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh.
The Dallas Mavericks in 07 or in
the last 2000 team?
Was it 11? 12?
11.
And they were the 11th best. So they're just right there.
Oh. And they also just were completely different in the playoffs.
Yes.
I just turned it on. So. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Down to Dunk podcast. That's all we have today. Hopefully, as part of this, you got to also listen to Royce Young from the Daily Thunder. If you haven't, we'll be sending that out at some point here in the next couple days. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, check us out on iTunes. Hey, download us there, rate us, review us, and also you can follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.